In communities like Bloomington Normal, there is no shortage of big ideas, but they often fizzle, withering to naysayers and critics who question the cost or feasibility. 25 years ago, a big idea for the Children's Discovery Museum actually made it to the finish line. Today, it's an anchor of Uptown Normal and a draw for parents, kids, school groups, and tourists. WGLT's Ryan Denham spoke with one of the museum's founders, Sherry Buckaloo, about where the idea came from back in the late 1980s.
It started with being a mother and having young children, moving here to this community and wanting to be involved with my kids, not just drop my kids off at something to let someone else coach them or spend time with them and that kind of thing. And so when we first got here, I just looked for that opportunity and didn't find it too much back in, that would have been 1988. And so anyway, I had visited lots of children's museums around the country prior to moving here to Bloomington, and my kids just loved it. And so I just said something to a friend of mine one day going, you know, this town really needs a children's museum. And back then people were like, what's a children's museum? And so started a very long journey of educating people of what one was and trying to get one open here in town.
So what was the museum like in that first year? It would have been in 1994 at College Hills Mall, right?
Yes. So we started in College Hills Mall because, to be honest, we couldn't get people to really visualize what it was we were talking about. And so when we were looking for a building to either have donated to us or purchase at a low rate, people were just like, I don't get it. So we decided we needed to kind of have a little pilot and show people what we were talking about. And so by that time, we had really gathered some momentum with a couple of organizations in town, specifically the agriculture community, the young children education area, the medical society, Medical Alliance. And so those three, as well as a radio station for kids, kind of were our first pilot, I guess, exhibits. And so we opened up with some Herb Eaton designed and built exhibits and kind of showed the community what it was like.
And so I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. So how did the partnership ultimately form between the museum and the town of Normal? You know, this private institution, mm-hmm. this private museum that you've built, I think it moved once after the College Hills location. But then the town of Normal kind of builds a partnership with you. How did that happen?
Right. Well, after being at the mall for a year, we realized we really needed to be into a more permanent space so people could really get a feel for what this was. And that's when we moved 1 year later to Constitution Place. After being in Constitution Place for probably about 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, we realized that even that couldn't show the community what this could be. We didn't want this to just be an okay children's museum because this community deserves a lot more than that. And we knew we could have a world-class museum here. So we started to look for partnerships and for spaces. And we talked to the city of Bloomington. We were about to commit to being out to where the Challenger Learning Center originally was, out at the airport. And so that's where we were really getting focused. And one day I got a phone call from someone from the Chamber of Commerce and said, hey, Sherry, we're at this meeting, a charrette about downtown Normal at the time. And consultants that we're working with from the Chicago area said, you know what you really need is something downtown that will bring children and families, something like a children's museum. And so this Jane from the chamber knew that we were looking. And so she called me and she said, you need to get down here right away. So literally that afternoon I was in that meeting and they started talking about what a children's museum in at the time, downtown Normal could mean for what they were dreaming, what their vision was for what is today Uptown Normal. And lots of conversation and lots of laughter and lots of tears between then and the actual opening date. But that was really the impetus for it.
How much behind the scenes effort goes into that, creating that partnership? Because it's a total game changer, you know, the museum being underneath the Normal Parks and Rec kind of umbrella, the support that provides. I'm sure that was not easy to pull off.
It wasn't. There was a lot of physical energy and a lot of emotional energy that was put into it. We had a good board that could help us kind of navigate that. I think at the same time, the town was still trying to decide what was going to happen in this uptown area. So what would we be? If people remember back in the early 90s, or late 90s, I guess, at that point, we had originally planned to be in the spot where now City Hall is. And so we had done designs there and all of those kinds of things. And then one day in a meeting, I think some of the TIF consultants recommended that that not be where we are, and we go to where we currently ended up being. And that made a lot of changes. You know, we weren't connected to a parking deck, and we weren't going to be right across from some of the places that we thought we were going to be. So it was just a change in mindset, but it also was going to be a change in the business model. And that's kind of when the town started to talk about, well, maybe it would be better if you were actually part of the town and we owned the building and all of those kinds of things. So it was at that point in time that we switched from being what was going to be an entity in the downtown area as a separate 501c3 to being actually a part of the Parks and Recs department.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Brian Denham. I'm in studio with Sherry Buckaloo, one of the founders and former director of the Children's Discovery Museum in Normal, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this week, including its last 15 in Uptown Normal. We're also joined in studio by Beth Wissman, the current director of the Children's Discovery Museum. It must have been something in the water, too, back in 1994, because there are so many 25th anniversaries going on right now. It's the museum. It's the community healthcare clinic. It's the Stevenson Center at ISU. It's the Evergreen Cemetery Walk. I can just keep going on and on and on. But there must have been something going on, a lot of energy in the community back in 1994.
Well, let's get that going again.
I think that's really important because I do think in society you see swells and, you know, and I think that you do see that there are generations that are primed to take, you know, action. And I do feel like we're in this space right now to do it again. And whether it's a Children's Discovery Museum or anything else that is a big idea that you might have out there, it's just part of people, mm-hmm. right? It's part of movement. It's part of history. It's part of change. And we like that at the Children's Discovery Museum. And part of what all those C's are, you know, change is part of that because you have to help young people and eventually adults be able to navigate change successfully. And in a digital age, it happens faster and faster, and our workforce isn't all under, you know, 30. We are all having to make these adjustments, and so I guess that's part of the C for us is helping with the change. It's coming, and it's just such a powerful thing when you see 25-year-olds coming in who were children at the first site. You know, we have video footage of a little girl talking to WMBD television, and she came in the other day with her kids. You know, that's powerful stuff, right?
So, Beth, you've got a lot of fun things going on this coming Thursday to mark the 25th anniversary. So what do you have planned? Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it really starts with my last job at a history museum, because it's strange that one of the first things I had to do as I started this job was start researching the history of the Children's Discovery Museum and talking to the founders, talking to the people who made this thing happen, and prepare them for a 25th anniversary celebration. I think if you start a new job, I think we should all have to do a 25th anniversary celebration, because you learn everything there is to know about your organization that you're joining. It's frankly pretty humbling, you know, to go through the archives and to read the stories and to try to put together the pieces of how all of these individuals really came together under this vision to make it happen. And that 6 of the 7 original founding board are actually going to be at this event. One of them, Cheryl Denslow, who was one of the first two, right? Mm-hmm. Cheryl and Sherry, is in Denver now. Her son's still a firefighter for the Normal Fire Department, but she can't make it. I wish she could. She wishes she could. But what we've decided to do was just have a celebration in the truest sense of what the museum has been like over the years. So bringing all of the parties together who have made this thing what it is and have the spirit and the energy of the power of play. And so when I brought former board members together, former guild members together, some of the founders into the mix, it became pretty clear that really we needed to have an event for them and then have an event for our families who are currently playing and maybe don't have that immediate connection to the original 25-year-ago group. So we're going to have two parties. So on Thursday, September 12th, we're having a big breakfast celebration, and our committee has put together a wonderful celebration to honor our founders, our friends, and look towards the future. And Curious George is going to be there because, you know, he's cool. And it's a children's museum, so our event is going to be very playful and fun, and it will have a lot of, I think, that nostalgic feel for the activities, the faces, and the story of the Children's Discovery Discovery Museum over 25 years. And then that evening, we're actually going to have special hours. We're going to be closed in the morning so our staff can go and enjoy the celebration. And then from 1 to 8, we'll be open in the evening. 4:30 to 7:30 is really the heart of the party, and we're going to have throwback pricing. When you opened at Constitution Place, mm-hmm. you were $3 to mm-hmm. get in, so we're going to be $3 to get into this party. We're going to have cake from Denny's, who's done the birthday cakes at Denny's for the museum for years. Next-door neighbors, Emac and Bolio's, are donating ice cream. So we'll have cake and ice cream to celebrate. We'll have lots of throwback activities that are very similar to what we're doing today. Birthday party hats. We'll do Shrinky Dinks with our 25th anniversary logo. And door prizes galore. And we're really excited about the door prizes because, one, who isn't looking for a deal when you have little children?
Right.
We all need some kind of extra bonus in the pocket. And so our next door neighbors, Emac and Bolio's, said that they wanted to do something special. So the grand prize for the day will be a year's supply for your family of Emac and Bolio's ice cream.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of ice cream.
So it's two parties. It's lots of celebrating. And really, I think the spirit of what we were trying to do is say thank you because, you know, none of this stuff happens in a vacuum, and in Sherry being the face and the backbone and the energy of this thing for so long will tell you she wasn't the only person at that table. You have to say thank you to the donors and the community and the families and the elected officials and our relatives. You know, I look and see how much sacrifice some of this was for families that were starting this, especially Sherry's. And to say thank you to former staff, to volunteers, interns, you know, this really is what it is because all of those people made a difference. And we want to say thank you, and we want to connect them back to the mission of inspiring the love of learning through the power of play and show them what we want to do for the future and how they can get reconnected at an entirely different point in life. Mm. It's not just for kids.
You've recently renovated the Imagine Air exhibit mm-hmm. Upstairs on the second floor, showing off kind of the power of wind energy for kids. I know next on your list is the medical exhibit on the first floor, which you've raised a bunch of money for, and I think construction's starting pretty soon.
Yeah, we actually are doing design this week for Healthy Me is what we're going to call it, and our three local hospitals have been our lead donors on that, but we are in our very final phase of getting our pledges secured for the $350,000 to build that exhibit, and we expect to open it up next August.
Well, I mean, as this week you're going to be reflecting on your past 25 years, what should people know about the future of the museum in the next 25? What do you think it'll look like?
Well, it'll look a lot like what it has always looked like. You know, community members around the table thinking about what's best for our youngest learners, how we connect to the community, and how we pay for it. You know, the town does not pay for the exhibits. That's always been part of the 501c3 part of it, which is currently the CDM Foundation. And how do we make our next master plan? And how do we look at some of our iconic pieces in the museum that have been a part of the last 15 years? So the Lucky Climber, that is very important to us, and it's near and dear to everyone who's ever been in the museum. What are we going to do with that? It's 15 years old. It's structurally sound, but aesthetically, it needs some work. And we've got to get some new carpeting. We've got to figure out some adjustments and what the next 15 to 20 years will look like for that piece. Our paint wall, another iconic piece, is also looking a little rougher these days around the edges. You know, 2 million kids love something, and it's going to show. So we are looking to the future and focusing on the basics of what we currently have and then building from there. I'm sure the agriculture exhibit will be on the next two or three exhibit that will be updated, the list. Every floor has opportunity. The store space has opportunity. Our front entry space has opportunity for playful learning and making a change. And, you know, we can't build a fourth floor. I've been told that so many times now, structurally speaking. But maybe we can do something else up there. It doesn't have to be, an enclosed space. Maybe it's another kind of space. You know, we don't like to put a ceiling on dreaming. That's kind of what we do, right? We inspire the love of learning through the power of play. And so we're going to be dreaming and thinking about what could possibly happen.
That's Children's Discovery Museum Director Beth Wissman speaking with WGLT's Ryan Denham. Joined in studio by museum founder and former director Sherry Buckaloo, the museum's 25th anniversary celebration is this Thursday.